Hello, friends. So this is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle on 1150 AM in the United States. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support and for making this world a better place. And also, I really appreciate your support for this radio show. We now have over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries, and I just want to thank you so much for all your beautiful support. The purpose of the program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. On today's show, from now till 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing my good friend Simon Parks from England. And then from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m., I'll be interviewing a famous and courageous scientist named Dr. Judy Mikovits, who will be talking about her new book with Kent Heckenlively on the plague of corruption, with a foreword from Robert F. Kennedy, which documents the plague of corruption we have among our medical researchers, some medical researchers, and among some pharmaceutical companies today, and what we can do about it. I wanted to tell you that I've been channeling ascension messages from Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, Benjamin Franklin, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Nostradamus, and lots of other wonderful spirits. And they all say the virus will no longer be a threat by the end of May, with things returning to a new normal of ascension into the higher dimensions by the end of May or early June. 2020, and which is just around a month or month and a half away. And they all say, welcome to the beautiful new earth, my friends. I want to thank Simon. He's on the line now. I want to thank him so much for his beautiful world meditation that he asked everyone to do last Monday at 12 noon. I know it was a big success that really helped the planet. He'll be coming on in just a minute, but I do want to give a message from Nostradamus, which I received a few days ago. He said, welcome to the age of Aquarius. The planet has finally made it, and all predictions have come true. There's a potential. The potential is enormous. What will happen next? And he said, all of us would love to be there with you at this time to be a witness to this magnificent event in the history of the universe. He said, prepare to see your life go through the Supreme Creator's eyes and be in true wonderment. Life is a journey, and yours has just begun in these higher energies. I wanted to tell everyone, if you missed my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference last month, the entire conference is now available on Crowdcast. And if you'd like to sign up, please go to my website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com and just click on the live stream tab. You can also go to crowdcast.io/Ease and Edward/Galactic Wisdom Conference/register. I want to thank everyone for their wonderful support today. And I'd like to thank the many sponsors of this show, especially Corey and Saul in Kirkland, as well as my wonderful friends Jessica and Randy in Mercer Island, Louise in Bellevue, Washington, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Dan and Ursula in Switzerland, Jan Eric and Emma Louise in Norway, Tom Palladino, and everyone around the world who helped me raise consciousness and make this world a better place. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the show would have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries. With that, I always like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, provides wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, I know who are listening today, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric at KKNW, who provides wonderful support. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to get in contact with their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your angels and spirit guides, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me on my cell at 509-750-9793. I've extended my special for a cost for a full hour reading, just $50. And if you're interested, please email me or give me a call. I'll be going back to Mount Shasta again twice this year, from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around the mountain, and we always experience many miracle healings. My eyesight was actually restored to perfectly clear, crystal clear 2010 eyesight in September of last year, after Adam and the people of Telos gave me a miracle healing, and others have been healed of Lyme's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, and also given a new pair of legs so they could walk again. That happened for a crippled lady back in September of 2017. The cost is just $200, and if you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, next month from May 17th to June 5th, I'll be taking a small group of people to visit to Peru, to visit one of the world's most spiritual places, Machu Picchu. We'll also be visiting some stargates, including Amaramuro in the southern end of Lake Titicaca. I was there in January, and a group of children from Agartha in the Hollow Earth gave us a beautiful singing chorus to all of my group. We also went to the Stargate, and we put our hands on this rock, and the rock literally turned to jello. And one of the people in my trip was literally able to see through the rock right into Agartha. We'll probably be camping out there this time and also visiting Pizac, as well as a hybrid human ET museum that has a hybrid human extraterrestrial skulls on Paracas on the coast of Peru. If you'd like to go, the cost is only $497. And people ask me whether we'll be able to go, and my angel said by next month we'll be able to go with the virus winding down. So if you're interested, please send me an email. Some of the airfares have dropped so low, you can fly right now from Vancouver, Canada to Lima next month for as little as $222 round trip. So if you'd like to take advantage and come along on the trip, please let me know. I also have a few bottles of special Hado vibrational healing water to help protect people against the coronavirus. If you'd like a bottle of this water, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or give me a call at 509-750-9793. We're just asking for donations for the nonprofit Modal Peace Project and the cost of postage for the water. Now I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon. Simon, how are you today?
Hello, Ted. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, good. Oh, good. My goodness, Simon, there's so much going on, isn't there? Incredible amount of things happening at the moment.
Yes, it's sometimes difficult to keep up with it, Ted.
Yeah.
Sort of look at the news, you check things out, and then 10 minutes later, something else has happened.
Sure. Well, I've got a bunch of questions from listeners. I also have gone over your blog post. I wanted to tell you that I had a hard time getting on your blog post. There's probably so many people logging onto it, Simon. It's hard to accommodate everybody. But there's lots of different ways I could go, Simon, but what would you like to talk about first?
I think probably, to be truthful, Ted, if you have got any questions from the audience, from the listeners, I think it's always nice because then at least some of them get their questions answered. I don't know if you've had a chance to sort of get any questions in from anybody.
Yeah, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, I think.
A lucky number, Ted.
I've got 7. And I think there's actually might be 8, actually. I think there's one that escaped somewhere. Well, anyway, that the first one I'll start off is Jill in Montana. This is not a joke question. She's serious. She's a psychic, and she says, "Is Bill Gates a clone? I'm a psychic, and my services tell me that the real Bill Gates was cloned years ago and is on Mars helping with the secret space program. Not even his wife realizes it." Any comments? Just curious if you might have heard anything about that.
I can't be specific, or what I can tell you is that the cloning process of Bill Gates was undertaken, but I cannot know whether we're looking at the real one or a clone. There are a number of key characters where they'll make copies, simply because if the original is taken out, then they can wheel the copy out. But without actually, you know, being in the same room as him, I couldn't tell you. So all I can tell you is that there are definitely reproductions of him, but I don't know whether that's a reproduction that's active at the moment.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay, good. Good. This is a question from John in Canada, Vancouver, beautiful Vancouver, Canada. He said, after the accidental release of the contravirus in Wuhan, was the virus spread in Europe by infected visitors from China, or was it another strain of the virus deliberately released by the black hats?
It was actually transmitted from by people who left one country to another, mm-hmm. but there was a separate strain of the virus active in Iran.
Oh.
So we had definite virus in China, a separate strain in Iran, but it was literally people traveling from one country to another that brought it across. The mm-hmm. difficulty, I think, was that the more virulent strain was actually in Iran, and mm-hmm. therefore the more virulent strain got into Italy. So that is why the death rate in Italy has been quite high.
I see. Interesting. I've got a question for you, Simon. I've been meditating, and my guides tell me that the virus will drop as quickly as it came up, of course, the last couple of months. But then after that, they see there will be an attempt by these negative entities, the same ones who created the virus, to release another virus, possibly release another virus this fall, September timeframe, October at the latest. But that'll be stopped. It will not be will not cause harm. I know that's a kind of a sensitive issue, probably, but was wondering if you have heard anything about that.
Yes. The real question for us, I think, is what happens in the next 6 weeks. In other words, if this is not so much a hidden war now, it's a fairly open war between the Trump administration and some of the most evil people on the planet. Mm-hmm. And if that is concluded in anything like a good fashion, then there will not be a second release of the virus.
I see. Okay. All right. Okay. I have a question from Joseph in Long Island. I really like Joseph. He's a friend of mine. And he was asking about the, I guess one of the questions is following up. Do you see the virus also ending soon, the threat soon?
Well, I do believe that the virus has what we would call a clock. In other words, it's time limited. And this is acted on by sunlight. As we go into the summer months, mm-hmm. then that actually activates the clock and the virus will disappear almost as quickly as it arrived. Mm-hmm. And there's no coincidence in the US, although some parts of Texas do have it bad. But if you look at Arizona, Texas, Australia, if you look at the number of infections as a proportion of the population of those states or country, in Australia's case, is very small. And the reality is that in areas with bright sunlight, the virus isn't doing very well. It's doing well in areas that are cooler or where people congregate in large areas, clubs or bars or dance halls. They're actually outside in the fresh air, shall we say, in the bright sunshine, in a semi-desert area, the virus is very quickly destroyed. So what we'll see, I think, as we go into, for Northern Hemisphere, we go into the summer time here, the virus will very quickly be destroyed.
Okay, well, that's good news. Thank you for sharing that. Bob in beautiful Vancouver, Canada, sent me a message about the numbers they're using for the amount of deaths and fatalities from the virus. He said that the statistics I can send you the link to after the show if you like, Simon. But he said that the number of people dying from the virus actually is total numbers with everything else with the flu season is 2,000 people less than it has been the average for the last 4 years. And he suspects that the actual numbers they're using for the virus are widely overblown. And I've also heard reports that that regular flu deaths and people die from the flu here in North America and around the world yearly too are being combined with the coronavirus because doctors actually have a financial incentive to list if a patient dies list that they died from the virus. Have you heard much about that?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. No question of it. The difficulty that we have is in all countries have had many years to work out how many people get born, how many babies get born a year, and how many people die a year, and they have an average, and then they build their services around that figure. It's a bit like the fire department. The fire department know how many firefighters they need and how many trucks they need, because over the last 30, 40, 50 years, they have a really clear idea of how many fires they're going to get. Now, when this virus took hold, it did increase the numbers of people dying. Mm-hmm. And because the system is very finely tuned, you've only got to have a couple more thousand deaths, and it throws the system into great difficulty because it can't cope with it. Mm-hmm. Now, what the person's asking the question there is an observation is quite right. Mm-hmm. There are two things here. First of all, in some countries, there's a financial incentive to claim as a virus death, but there are also those people who are working on the dark side who are pushing the fact that they want to build up this huge number of deaths because they want to add to the fear factor. And my view is quite strong that there are people are dying from the virus, but not in the way that it's being portrayed. So in other words, more people will die of other things, but when we add all the deaths together, it's too much for the system. In Great Britain, I've had to ask the firefighters to start moving the bodies about because all services can't cope. Now, it's not because 100,000 people have died and we're swamped. It's simply because a few thousand more have crushed the system. And so it's right, there are a number of people lying or falsifying, saying that someone's died of the virus when they haven't, but we still need to be aware that people are dying of the virus.
Right. I don't think it's any different than some physicians, unfortunately, in the United States engage in Medicare fraud, where they overbill the government for treatments they never did or procedures they never did. And so some doctors, unfortunately, have been using the virus apparently as a way to make extra money and claiming that the deaths from the virus occurred when they hadn't, when it wasn't the main cause of death. Here's a question from Ehrlich outside of Frankfurt, Germany. There was you probably heard about it, Beata Bahner, B-A-H-N-E-R. The headline is top medical lawyer forcibly committed to psychiatric hospital for criticizing the contra-virus lockdown law in Germany. Apparently, she was severely beaten up, and the German government, Merkel's government, has been very heavy-handed on demonstrators. Do you think they're going overboard with its treatment of people who protest against the shutdown? And should this decrease after the virus goes away? Do you think they'll keep these restrictions in place?
Well, from their perspective, no, they didn't go overboard because they absolutely want. This is the negative cabal. They absolutely want countries and states secured, locked down, almost martial law. They want people not to be able to come out. They want to keep this fear factor going. But more importantly, they want to destroy the economy. Now, you've got, in America, you've got a number of states which are not wanting to come out of their lockdown. And you've got two states that have got Republican governors, but all the rest have got Democrat governors. You can't include places like New York and New Jersey because they really are badly hit. And so they've got to stay like that. But there are a number of states where, frankly, there's no need to have this lockdown. Right. Now, what I think we'll see in Great Britain, and I give it as an example, is that the lockdown will be released so that businesses can be open, but we will still be expected to follow the social distancing. In other words, all the stores will be open, all the offices will be open, but you won't be able to sit next to somebody close. And I think that's how they're going to get around it. So they're going to say, you've got to be 6 feet away from somebody, but you can go back to work. And that's, I think, what I guess Trump is looking for, because he knows that the cabal want America bankrupt. Right. And if he can keep America working, then he can defeat the cabal. So well, the cabal want everyone drawing unemployment from the labor office. They want Social Security to break the bank. And that's, if you think back weeks ago now when we spoke, I said, and I'm on record as saying that this virus doesn't kill very many people, but it is incredibly infectious.
Right.
And its whole object was to destroy the economy of the United States and to get rid of President Trump. That's what it was all about.
Sure. Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, in a negative way, it makes sense. I did read the book. I can get you a copy if you want, of Dean Koontz's book called The Eyes of Darkness. And in that book, he talks about a virus developed by the Chinese called the Wuhan 400, which is extremely contagious and it kills people. Very virulent form that's released accidentally in a it's a mystery book, but I read the book, and that was released back in 84. And I've heard that the cabal, or whatever you want to call them, the negative elements, they like to tell people ahead of time what they're going to do before they do it. I don't know whether the author claims that he just wrote the book. I know I've seen his interviews, but it's too uncanny that this thing be called the Wuhan virus that's very virulent and it kills people back in 84. And now we've got something close to the real thing.
Well, there are two possibilities here that I can see. One is that an individual is paid to write a book and give it a storyline, and they write it, or somebody gets a download of information because they get a glimpse into the future. Mm. But either way, there's absolutely no chance that that was just a coincidence. Somebody got hold of advanced information. And you're right again, Ted, that the way these people operate, this cabal, is that they have to alert you in a very covert way what their plans are. And normally, they use Hollywood. They'll use a Hollywood film or a cartoon to get that message out there and see how it goes. But you see, the cabal had two aces up their sleeve. One was the virus, or a virus, and the other is what we call a dirty bomb. That's a nuclear, a low-yield, very low-yield nuclear weapon full of contamination. Now, the problem with the bomb is it contaminates everything.
Right.
But the point about the virus is that it's quite clean. And so I think the cabal went for the virus because it was a clean way of attacking an economy.
Sure.
Use a bomb, you know, it can get out of hand. So these are weapons that they've planned them before they even had the technology. So you could go back 100 years and you could find a book talking about a virus. Well, it means that people had created this idea but hadn't got the science. As soon as the science caught up with the idea, they could then launch the attack. And the reason they launched the attack was because 2020, this year, is the year of make or break for many, many things. And this virus was released in the end of, or middle end, third week of November. Don't believe what the World Health Organization tells you. I know for a fact it was released on the third week of November, 2019, to have the effect in 2020. This is the year of decision. That's why it's happened now, not last year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. It happened so that it have its effect into this year.
Right, right. Where I live in Washington State, outside Seattle, our governor, Governor Inslee, they've argued that large groups are the problem. But it doesn't make sense what they've done to shut down all businesses. They've shut down all small businesses across the state. And the unfortunate part is, like, if large groups are the problem, then shouldn't they have closed the Walmarts of the state of America and the large big box stores instead of the little mom and pop little grocery store, little smaller businesses, like with maybe 2 or 3 people in them, which theoretically aren't a problem. But yet I shudder to think, I think I don't know how many of these businesses will be coming back. You know, a lot of businesses just get by, they're independent. I hope they'll be able to survive this.
Well, this is the difference between the federal government and the governors, because you can't fail but to be aware that Trump was very reluctant to close corporate America down,
right,
whereas some of the governors were already, you know, doing it and going overboard.
Right.
It's all very well for a governor in an office to make these decisions, but there are husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, families and their sons and daughters who work in a business which might have been there since the West was won. And, right. you know, you cannot destroy people's livelihoods.
Right.
And then be no consequence. There will be a consequence of this.
Sure.
There we go with it, Ted. But I honestly think that people will be quite resilient and will come back.
Well, and I'm going to have a special program when this thing, the shutdown's lifted, just on small business. I'm going to give all the businesses they want as much free promotions on my show as possible so we can get America moving again, get the world moving again, and to help them out. The other thing, too, is many governors have, I know the governor in New Jersey has criminalized being out. If you're not an essential, so-called essential worker in New Jersey, you can be charged with a misdemeanor of disorderly conduct and fined up to $1,000. Back in my area, Seattle, our governor, Inslee, banned all recreational fishing 2 weeks ago, as if a guy in a boat 2 miles from shore from everybody else would be a threat to spreading the virus. It doesn't make sense. He's also closed all the parks so people can't get out. I mean, it's going to come to a point where I think he'll be forced to open up the state again. So anyway, I don't know what it's like in the, can you get, are you similar restrictions in the UK, Simon, where you are?
I'll answer that in a minute, but I'll give you a bit more information, Ted. Mm-hmm. In the state you've just referred to, it is, as you said quite rightly, it's illegal to go fishing, but it is not illegal to go out in a canoe. I'm absolutely truthful with you. We have different names for them. I think canoe or kayak. Mm-hmm. It is perfectly legal to take a canoe out in that state, but it is not legal to go in a boat and do fishing. So I understand from my sources that people have been fishing from boats and then they've hung a sign on the boat saying this is a canoe. that just shows you what's going on. No, this is Great Britain, and we don't have a federal government. So in other words, we have a national government,
right.
And the national government makes laws that all of the smaller areas have to follow. We don't have this separate autonomy, and what we're allowed to do, we are now allowed to go out more than once a day. Mm-hmm. We're allowed to drive to a place to walk, and we're allowed to go out and have a picnic if we want, providing that the amount of time we take sitting down is less than the amount of time we're walking. So we have got quite an open book, if you like, but we must keep 6 feet away from everyone that's not a member of our family.
I see. Does that include pets as well? If your dog comes up and jumps on you, could you be subject to fine and arrest?
No, not at all. This is Great Britain. That doesn't happen.
Just kidding.
Anyway. Oh, right. We did have a couple of situations where a local police force got very excited and did start to try and find people. You know, they were looking through people's shopping baskets and saying, well, you know, you've come all this way to a supermarket and you've just bought chocolate. That's not really essential, is it? So we have what we call a Home Office Minister, who is the politician in charge of all the police areas. And they've actually said to the police, you've got to stop doing that. Let people buy what they want. So we've had a very gentle response in this country, much less draconian than is taking place in France or Germany or Italy or Spain.
Interesting. I saw a post the other day where the governor of Michigan had banned the purchase of U.S. flags. I don't understand her reasoning. I guess it's related to the virus, but I don't know why. But anyway, there was a huge protest against her yesterday in Lansing, Michigan, the capital of Michigan. So, well, yeah, I think people are getting rather tired.
Surely under the Constitution, a citizen can go to buy the flag. And if they're prevented from that, I would have thought there would have been a ton of lawyers happy to take the governor on.
I see so many civil rights violations with this shutdown, and I'm surprised not more attorneys have jumped into the fray. But I don't know. I don't know. I don't see much legal action happening. A few things, but really not much. But I hope people wake up soon. I don't agree with the total shutdown. I really don't. No,
the longer, I mean, fair enough. There are places like New Jersey. I don't have a problem with that because it's serious. Mm-hmm. But where there's a state with a very few cases,
right,
who are operating the same very severe lockdown, that state, and I'm not being melodramatic here, people know me, I don't get melodramatic, but that governor in that state is pushing his people towards not just civil disobedience, but civil action, not civil war, but civil action. And I think that if governors wish to be re-elected, they need to think very carefully.
Right. I agree with you. I'm getting some more questions in. I'm reading them. Okay, this is there's a bunch of questions that just came in. Elizabeth in Westport, Washington asks, is it really true the kids are being rescued?
Yes, absolutely it is. Don't expect to see that on primetime television.
Right. I guess the corollary to that question would be, will it become public?
You just dropped out, Ted.
Yeah, will this become public?
Right. Thanks for coming back. The signal went. Probably someone was just a bit too curious to listen to us. I think the answer is it will, if there's been a very covert battle for in Italy. It's not surprising because it's where the Vatican is.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I understand, been reasonably successful.
Right.
But the real battle, you know, is in mainland US. It's the main continent. It's where you are. And if that battle is anything like half decent, as we say here, then you will find the truth coming out. If the good guys don't push back as much as they hope, then it won't cover. There's a one of the key issues for your listeners, twofold. There's only two things that matter here. And you know what they are? That's the media and Hollywood. Now, if media and Hollywood take a hit, then I think you'll find that the unmentionable, the unthinkable happens, and facts are begun to be released through the mainstream. But it means that Hollywood has to be adjudged, and it means that, you know, the media have to be judged. And if those two empires can be brought back into the realm of democracy, then yes, the truth is going to be out there big time.
I think that raises the issue too of and I thank you so much for coming on my show, Simon, because your viewpoint and my program as well gives people an alternative where we all try to ferret out the truth and tell people what's really going on. And we don't have agendas. I just tell it, you know, both of us tell it what we see, how, as we see it. In Iowa, people don't realize this, but I've heard in Iowa there's no shutdown there, and not life goes on normally. I've also heard that the governors of Texas and Nebraska are considering lifting the shutdown now as we speak. So there's a lot of people wondering what's going on, and I think the shutdown will help hopefully wake them up. I have a question from Bonnie in Minnesota who asks, I just learned that Pontus Trump gave his power to FEMA, that they control the company, not President Trump. Are we still on track for the light being in control and winning this battle?
Not sure about that.
Yeah.
What your audience will be aware of is that the scraped seal of office has on a number of occasions been taken away from behind President Trump when he's done some of his presentations or conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And that should have created a lot more interest than it has done. Mm-hmm. I just want to put it clear that when the Great Seal of Office is behind the elected office of president, then the elected office of president is speaking as a controlled person of the system. When the seal of office is removed, then President Trump is actually speaking as an ordinary American citizen. So when the seal of office is removed, it allows the president in a democratic way, shall we say, to start taking actions that he wouldn't normally be allowed to take. So that's the first thing to say. The second thing to say is that ever since 2016, the government of the United States of America has been a military government built around the Constitution. There's no way the president will give his powers away to anybody.
Okay.
A group of military men brought in President Trump to save America. Let's be absolutely blunt about this.
Okay.
To save America, they're not about to give those powers away to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much, Simon, for explaining that. I have a question from a gentleman, Thaddeus. I think he's from Los Angeles. Not sure. And he said, Simon, thanks for all your wonderful hard work and dedication to the truth. My question is this: how can we evolve as a species with the homeless population currently on the planet, especially in some of the richest, most industrialized nations? For example, the homeless camp, he writes, near San Francisco is now visible from outer space, with people living in parking lots and in garages. And some of these people have jobs, go to school, have kids, etc. Your comments on that.
Right, Ted. It's a problem for the United States because I'm afraid the American people have been sold a lie. Many countries have been sold a lie. But the American vision is that it's perfectly acceptable to have 10% of your population in the gutter. Because that's when, you know, we are successful, and we look down at these people in the gutter and we think, I've got to keep working, I've got to keep going, because if I don't, I could fall in the gutter. So it's a control system. Now, what's happened with this virus, across many countries, homeless people have been given temporary accommodation because they want to get them off the streets. So why is it that a country can do this under the virus situation, and then as soon as the virus situation goes, it's going to put them back on the streets? It's showing a lack of evolvement. It's a lack of humanity. And basically, until humanity challenges the power of money, until humanity says that a person is more valuable than a dollar bill, we won't get any change until that happens. As long as money comes first, then the person who's put the question forward is absolutely right. That's the situation we've got. But if we can get some sort of change that means that we have a better perception of what money is, and then we can have proper life. I mean, let's just quickly go on. Look at all the black kids in prison. Look at all the kids shooting each other.
Right.
This is part of a system where these people are being manipulated, because, you know, your country, which I've got the greatest respect for, something like 35% now of all manufacturing within that country, US, is made in prison or made with prisoners.
Oh, my God.
It's huge. And in fact,
wow.
Do you remember the pictures? Did you see the pictures of the coffins being laid in the island? Did you see those pictures?
I saw those pictures, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Do you know that they were prisoners burying them with police guards?
Oh, my gosh.
You see, wow. If you look at the drone pictures and you can get some enlargements, you'll see cops around the edge standing back, and then the guys actually doing it are, I can tell you, are prisoners, are inmates, I think the word you use, inmates from a prison. Now, people don't actually understand that it's a massive labor force. It's a massive economy. You know, black people aren't picking cotton anymore. I'm being absolutely serious here. So when that system dropped out, the elite, the cabal, had to find another way of slaves.
Right.
And have these paid slaves and semi-paid slaves. So in order to get the truth and a real change, we have to completely turn the system on its head. I'm hoping that President Trump can do that.
Right. Yeah, I hope so, too. I hope so, too, Simon. And what you've told me now points out an interesting corollary is that during the 30s and 40s with the Nazis in Germany, they, of course, had concentration camps, which was free labor to the cabal and to the industrialists in Germany. And this is not maybe... it's too harsh to say this, but it's maybe both kind of the same principle of free labor that they use to exploit people. for their own ends, for manufacturing. But yeah, I hope it changes. I hope it changes. I've got a question from Peru in South Africa. He asks about the, he writes this question about, do you think the medical establishment, the medical fraternity, is not sharing what they've been, that they have, that they have solutions for the virus and remedies, but they haven't been sharing it? And a corollary to that, do you think governments around the world actually have solutions for the coronavirus that they have not, they've intentionally been withholding?
Right. The people who have the solution for it are the people who created it in the first place. You do not run a one-way street in your biological weapons laboratory as you're running a number of diseases. You are also running the antidote to them. You always do that, just in case there is an accidental release, because you can't have the cabal being infected by its own weapons. Now, what we've got on the planet at the moment is just a handful of people aware of the, there isn't a cure that the good guys have got, but the good guys have got a number of things that help immensely. Now, when the British Prime Minister became very ill and was sent to the emergency unit, President Trump immediately, they arrived at 3 o'clock in the morning British time the next day, sent over representatives with a range of drugs which were not available in any other country except America. And so Boris, the British Prime Minister, his doctors were given these drugs that the American system had, and that's why Boris is back on his feet now. So there are, most countries don't have it, and the only reason that the US has it is because when this virus was released in the third week of November 2019, it gave the White Hats a few weeks to get something together before it hit. Now, I think that the president has announced he's got 28 million doses of a drug which has great benefit. Unfortunately, the American pharmaceutical industry is fighting it, of course.
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah.
But as President Trump said, you should take this because you've got nothing to lose. If you're dying of this virus, you've got nothing to lose.
That's true.
So what I'm saying to you is the only people who've got the cure are the people who created it in the first place. And I can definitely tell you that it was not any of the intelligence agencies in America. So the CIA don't have the cure for it. The NSA don't have a cure. None of those guys have got it. The people who've got the cure for it are a cabalistic group.
Interesting. All right. Well, and I'm glad we started with people's questions first, because we're already three quarters of the way through the show, and it took us that long to answer all the questions. So we got them all answered, Simon. That's wonderful. Unless one comes in the next next few minutes. I wanted to ask you a few follow-up questions, though. You had on your website that President Trump had rejected Bill Gates' vision. Mr. Gates wants to have all of us vaccinated, and this relates to vaccinations, of course, and the shutdown to continue indefinitely. And he also, Trump also wants to get back everything back to normal as quickly as possible, is the president's wish. And I know that a lot of people, I think, are feeling the same way. Is that true also in Britain, too, that people want to get back to normal as soon as possible?
No, I don't think that's the case here. I think people have been so frightened in Great Britain that recent polling that's taken place has shown that they'll have to be released very gently, because humanity in this, we see, we're an island, Ted. We're a very small island. Mm-hmm. We're very different from other countries. Mm-hmm. And, at the moment, people are terrified of being close to anyone. So what's going to happen is that it's going to have to be done gently in terms of distancing, because at the moment people are recoiling, they're jumping. If you're walking down the sidewalk and someone comes up to you, they almost automatically leap, as it were, into the road. So there's a great fear in Great Britain about getting too close to somebody. So the fear machine has been working overtime here, And I think it'll be quite difficult. So a businessman or a businesswoman, they want their business up and running tomorrow.
Right.
But the ordinary people, they want to go back to normality, but they just psychologically don't know how they're going to cope going into a room full of people.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, hopefully things will get back to normal, not only in the UK, but also here and Canada, as well as all around the world. I think people, I hope so anyway. I wanted to get to another interesting point. There was an organization called the Points of Light, who organized a worldwide meditation for April 4th. And I saw the advertisements, the posts on Facebook for it. And what I thought was interesting, Simon, is they never listed who was behind it. And I ran across the video on it and also saw your post about the same people who organized George Bush's Million Points of Light initiative to promote the New World Order was the same ones who did this April 4th meditation. Do you think they were trying to stop the ascension and hijack light workers?
I can't be sure of that. What I can be sure of is that their promotional video was incredibly slick and glitzy. And I'm always suspicious of that because that means a lot of money has been thrown into it. Now, light workers, spiritual people, we don't have money. That's why we are, no disrespect to bankers. We're not bankers. We believe in a better way. And so we couldn't produce something as glitzy and as fantastic as that. So when you see really professionally produced videos, then that means a lot of money behind it. Well, that isn't going to be a spiritual person. That's going to be a person that's got an agenda. So I'll just leave that thought with your audience.
Right. I looked up, I went to their website and looked up their purpose. And the purpose is one, it's in one line. It said the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals provides a unified approach to solving our urgent problems and toward building an inclusive, sustainable future for all. That's from their website. And that begs the question, Agenda 21 and Agenda 30, which, of course, we know that's about to force people from the rural areas into the cities where they can be controlled. But anyway, thank you for making people aware of that, because a million points of light was never explained on their post. And I always kind of wondered what was going on. The recent drowning of Maav Kennedy Townsend, found in canoeing, in the water canoeing with her young son. Any further developments on that? Have the police been able to find out who did it yet, or any information on her son?
On one of my updates, I said someone slipped up, someone needs to pay for this.
Right.
There is no excuse for something happening to a child. I can't remember how old the boy was. Was he 10 years old?
Eight
years old. There is no excuse for that. I don't understand. I understand the circumstances around his mother, but I don't understand the circumstances around the boy. And that's one of the big issues I've got. I don't understand why that's happened to the boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, let's say a moment of prayers for the son, that he be found. His body hasn't been found. My guides tell me he was kidnapped. I don't know where they're keeping him, but there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye. That's the other message I got. We've got about 8 minutes left, and I wanted to ask you about President Trump's cut of funding for the WHO organization, as well as I think you had another post on Taiwan was turning against WHO, saying it's set on the information on the virus, which could have helped the world.
Ted, you're breaking up terribly. I can't really hear you. Could you just repeat that, please?
Oh, sure. Yeah, President Trump cuts the funding for WHO, and also the Taiwan government turned against WHO, saying that WHO was set on the information on the coronavirus, which could have helped the world.
Right. Well, President Trump did a very powerful presentation, and he gave his reasons why. Of course, the the evil elite and the majority of the media didn't want to cover that. The reality was that the WHO, the World Health Organization, has lied and has just literally done what China wanted. And I don't understand it, because the United States gives between $400 and $500 million a year to the World Health Organization, and China gives $40 million. You'd think that if you gave the lion's share, then you'd report to the boss, but they're not doing that. So there's, again, there's another nasty agenda here with the World Health Organization. President Trump has seen through them. He knows the truth. He's pulling the plug on it, and I'm really glad that he is.
Well, that's good. That's good. What do you think of the director?
Well, I if anybody ever gets the chance to interview the director, please ask them to tell you what medical qualifications he has. Seriously, I mean, yeah. ask him if ever you get the chance, just prove what medical qualifications you've got. You'd be surprised to find he has none.
Okay, thanks. Thanks. That's very interesting. I've heard another question came in. Is Bill Gates in jail?
No, he's not. He is the richest man on the planet. I guess Queen Elizabeth II is the richest woman on the planet.
Right.
Now, he is the richest person on the planet. He will be the very last one to go down.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. There was a video I saw on the internet a couple days ago on that. It was a video of the Pope at the Vatican appearing in this window. I don't know if you saw it or not. I can send it to you, Simon, if you want, where he gives a speech and then he turns his back and suddenly he disappears. Oh. And people watching it thought he was just a hologram, and I've heard reports that the Pope is in jail too. I don't know if it's true or not, but I had to ask.
Okay. my information is that he's not in jail.
Okay.
There are several possibilities for this. Some of them are, they're not conspiratorial, but they're interesting. If a big leader is seriously ill, you have to present that leader. And I never understood why they didn't do it with Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. But basically, you can project an image of that person to a window. And if you know that it's going to be filmed or audience are going to watch it, so that you can, you know, give the impression that the person is still at home. Because that's a very real method that's used from time to time. The other possibility is rather more exciting, shall we say, or more exotic, is that if a person is not really a human, it is another form of creature, has the ability to leave this reality from time to time, then you will see that person disappear in space back again.
Interesting. Well, I hope the truth behind his disappearance will come out soon. On behalf of all my listeners around the world, I'm so glad that your prime minister is out of the hospital and he's feeling better. Do you know when he'll be completely healed? Any word on that?
I'm being told it'll be Wednesday to Thursday of the week coming. He'll be back to work.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Simon, we've got about a minute and a half left. I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Thank you. I think what we would do is basically say that 2020 is the year of choice for humanity to see this great game. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but this great game that's unraveling in front of them, and for people to perhaps find inner strength and see through all of this trickery that's occurring, and to understand that we need a completely different way of life. We need a completely different way of valuing who we are and what we stand for. And I'm hoping that never again will humanity be the same. In other words, when we come through this, and we will come through this, our values will be changed for the better. I hope we will never again be suckered or duped by the ridiculous things that have happened in the past. So I think this is a very exciting time for us.
Thank you so much, Simon. I always enjoy talking to you, and it's always fun because I know that you have a heart of gold and you want the best for humanity. And with that, all of my listeners, thank you for coming on today. Simon, thanks again so much for sharing your wisdom with us.
God bless. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Simon, so much. Bye-bye. Bye. That was my good friend Simon Parks from England. In a few minutes, I'll be interviewing Judy Mikovits, the author of Plague of Corruption, Restoring the Faith and the Promise of Science. So she'll be on in just a few minutes. Please stay tuned, my friends, and thank you so much for listening today.